I'm Tanya Mosley. In 1987, my sister Anita vanished without a trace. Decades later, thanks to DNA, we found her. But that's only the beginning of the story. She Has a Name is a new audio documentary that explores the search for redemption, confronting trauma, and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. Subscribe now to Truth Be Told Presents She Has a Name, where every revelation brings us closer to the truth.
Today is Friday, September 18th, 2020. On this day in 96 CE, Roman Emperor Domitian was assassinated. His successor, Nerva, was named that same day, leading some to suspect that the new emperor was involved in Domitian's bloody demise. Welcome to Today in True Crime, a Parcast original. Due to the graphic nature of today's crimes, listener discretion is advised. Extreme caution is advised for listeners under 13. Today we're covering Emperor Domitian's assassination and Nerva's ascension to the Roman throne. Let's go back to ancient Rome on September 18th, 96 CE, right around noon. It had been an anxious morning for Emperor Domitian. According to some accounts, one of his astrologers said he was destined to die today. In fact, his end was supposed to come right about now. He waved over one of his servants and earnestly asked them what time it was. If he could make it past midday, he would be clear of the astrologer's dire prediction. Much to the emperor's relief, the alleged danger had already passed. Finally able to focus on the tasks at hand, Domitian relaxed and started reading over some papers. Just as he became immersed in the affairs of running the world's largest empire, he was once again distracted, this time by a sniveling servant, Stephanus. He wasn't the sharpest spear in the bunch. For days, Stephanus had been wrapped in bandages from some injury or another, but still he had his uses. Stephanus announced that he possessed a full list of Domitian's enemies. He had the names of everyone who may have wanted the emperor dead. It was most welcome news. Although Domitian was popular with the common plebs, many nobles were less than enamored with him. Throughout his 15-year reign, he had reduced the venerable Senate to a powerless shell of its former self. Several years earlier, a group of senators had tried to do something about it, but Domitian caught wind of their plans and executed them first. However, it seemed whispers of rebellion were once again floating around the capital. Eager to learn who these traitors were, Domitian summoned Stephanus to his side. He pored over the list, drinking in the names of the men who would soon feel his wrath. But he should have been paying more attention to the man standing next to him. In a flash, Stephanus pulled out a dagger concealed in his bandages and repeatedly stabbed Domitian in the groin. In a desperate bid to defend himself, the emperor reached for a knife he kept hidden in a nearby pillow, but it was gone. Stephanus wasn't the only conspirator. Domitian's personal valet must have been in on it too, and had removed the knife beforehand. As Stephanus and Domitian fought, more assailants rushed into the room. Blow after blow rained down on the defenseless emperor. Within moments, he was dead. News of his demise spread like wildfire throughout the city. The Roman senators who Domitian had sidelined were pleased to hear their nemesis was gone at last. And there was a cherry on top of the sundae. Domitian hadn't named an heir. This meant the senators could install someone who would restore their authority, but they had to act before anyone else tried to claim the throne. They didn't need to find someone perfect. He just simply had to be good enough. That person turned out to be the approximately 60-year-old Marcus Cocceius Nerva, A lifelong politician, Nerva was well-respected, but not overly ambitious, or at least he didn't seem that way. Perhaps the senators believed Nerva's advanced age would make him easier to control. There were also whispers that he may have had a hand in Domitian's assassination. But whatever the ultimate reason for his ascension, it proceeded at light speed. By day's end, Nerva was the new emperor of Rome. But not everyone was happy to see him take charge. Coming up, Nerva faces opposition.
Hey listeners, I want to take a quick moment to introduce you to the newest Parcast original on the block. It's called Incredible Feats, and it's a short weekday show hosted by comedian Dan Cummins. Every weekday, Dan shares a true account of physical strength, mental focus, or genuine bizarre behavior, going behind the scenes and into the achievements of world-class athletes like Dean Karnazes, who once ran for nearly 81 hours without stopping, and performance artists like Lucky Diamond Rich, who boasts layers of tattoos in the most unlikely places, and even everyday people thrown into extraordinary circumstances, like Juliana Kopka, who was forced to survive alone in a rainforest for 11 days. Incredible Feats is offbeat entertainment that's sometimes weird, sometimes wonderful, and always surprising. New episodes air daily, Monday through Friday. Search Incredible Feats and follow free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the story. On September 18th, in the year 96 CE, Roman Emperor Domitian was assassinated. That same day, the new emperor, Nerva, took his place. Although it's not clear exactly who planned Domitian's murder, it seems to have been orchestrated by Roman senators who were angry at him for reducing their power. In contrast, Nerva knew who buttered his bread. In the first few months of his reign, he allowed Domitian's exiled enemies to return to Rome and restored some of the Senate's administrative powers. The new emperor proved to be quite popular with the common folk as well. The Senate bestowed on him the venerable title Pater Patriae, or Father of the Country. However, not everyone was happy with Nerva's regime. Soon, the military had a bone to pick with the new emperor. The Roman army had been fiercely loyal to Domitian. He was the only emperor to increase their pay since Augustus, who died over 80 years earlier. They were determined to make his killers pay for what they'd done. Sometime in 97 CE, a group of the elite Praetorian Guard mutinied and took Nerva prisoner. In exchange for his freedom, they demanded that two of Domitian's assassins be handed over to them. Instead, Nerva offered his life in their place, but his captors refused. They got their hands on the assassins and swiftly executed them. Although Nerva was released unharmed, the incident was a major blow to his credibility. In addition to being forced to give in to the Praetorians' demands, he allegedly had to deliver a speech thanking them for what they did. It also made him realize how tenuous his rule really was. If the right person got angry with him, Nerva knew he could easily be led to an early grave, just like his predecessor. And like Domitian, Nerva had no formal heir. Since he likely wasn't married and had no children, he had to look elsewhere. At the time, adoption was a common method of continuing an emperor's bloodline, so to speak. In fact, Julius Caesar adopted his great-nephew, who went on to become Emperor Augustus. Rather than choose his nearest male relative like Caesar had, Nerva instead selected the 45-year-old governor of Germany, Marcus Ulpius Traianus, also known as Trajan. The selection checked a lot of boxes. He was a formidable military leader, which gained him the Praetorian Guard's support. And although the Senate would have preferred their own choice, Trajan had loyally served the Roman Empire for many years. There was little indication that he would attempt to consolidate power, as Domitian had. The formal adoption ceremony took place in October of 97 CE. Trajan was officially made Nerva's heir. His appointment came just in time. Nerva suffered an apparent stroke in January of 98 and died a few weeks later. Though Nerva's reign was brief, it had a significant impact on the Roman Empire. He's regarded as the first of five successive good emperors who oversaw one of Rome's most prosperous, peaceful periods. Also among these emperors were Hadrian, who pushed the empire's boundaries, and Marcus Aurelius, whose philosophy is still studied today. Without Nerva's canny, timely rule, these men might have never gotten their chance to write history as we know it. Thanks for listening to Today in True Crime. I'm Vanessa Richardson. For more stories of intrigue and power struggles in the Roman Empire, keep an eye on the feed for the Parcast original, Dictators. Not only does Spotify already have all of your favorite music, but now Spotify is making it easy for you to enjoy all of your favorite Parcast originals, like Today in True Crime, for free from your phone, desktop, or smart speaker. To stream Today in True Crime on Spotify, just open the app and type Today in True Crime in the search bar. We'll be back with a brand new episode tomorrow in True Crime. Today in True Crime was created by Max Cutler and is a Parcast Studios original. It is executive produced by Max Cutler, sound design by Juan Borda, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, and Aaron Larson. This episode of Today in True Crime was written by Alex Benedon, with writing assistance by Terrell Wells. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Hey, Parcasters, don't forget to check out the brand new Spotify original from Parcast, Incredible Feats. Join host Dan Cummins as he explores true accounts of weird, wonderful, and all-out wild achievements. New episodes premiere daily Monday through Friday. Search Incredible Feats and follow free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.